Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is In the Trenches with Ian Beckles, and we're in our second straight victory Monday. As you know, I'm a Buccaneer fan. I can say that I'm actually a Buccaneer. And what I'm watching right now is exhilarating. It's confusing. It's entertaining. It's a lot of different adjectives. But I tell you what, it is fun to win again. Whether it's premature or not, I don't care. It's just been a long time since there's been relevant football being played in the Tampa Bay area. And Ryan Fitzpatrick and our team are doing that right now. So as Buccaneer fans, we should be elated that we are relevant again. Whether if it's for 2 weeks or not, but the Buccaneers are back to relevance. Nobody's talking about the Buccaneers last year or the year before. Now, all of a sudden, with this 2-0 start and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's out there Broadway Joe style and looking as confident as can be, it's happening in front of us. How this turns out, I have no idea. And, you know, I have to write another report this week for the Pewter Report that comes out last week. I pretty much wrote that, you know, I'm not somebody who changes my mind very often, but probably in this Fitzpatrick, Jameis Winston situation, I've changed my mind more than anything else I've ever experienced in sports. I started off by saying nothing can be done to get Jameis to be sitting on the bench in the fourth week. There's nothing that Ryan Fitzpatrick can do. I was wrong with that one. I will take that one. There is something he can do. And what he can do, when the question at the beginning, if the question was, what would it take to keep Jameis on the bench? You know what the answer is? What's happening? That's the answer. He has to look as good as he has in the first 2 weeks for us to even be talking about keeping Jameis on the bench. And that's what people are talking about. Now, I think that people, it's hard for them to envision what's happening behind closed doors. And I've been in locker rooms. I've been in meeting rooms. I've been in a lot of different facilities. I kind of know how a lot of things work over there at One Buck Place. And as simple as it seems to you and to me, I guarantee it's way more convoluted, way more complicated at One Buck in your place, because there's a lot of things that people aren't considering. Now, Jameis is the reason why he's in this situation. He's the reason why he's in this situation. The reason why Ryan Fitzpatrick is in this situation is also due to Jameis. So what's scary is that if Jameis didn't mess up, Ryan wouldn't be in there. So are you benching Jameis more for Jameis or more for Ryan? And the answer is Ryan. And Ryan Fitzpatrick and what he's doing now is masterful. If you ask me if Jameis would be playing better in the same situation, my answer would be hell no. Like, I just don't know if anybody, I don't know if Tom Brady looks better in the same situation as Ryan Fitzpatrick has been in these first couple games, because he's looked fantastic. Decision-making, fantastic. Confidence in the pocket. Getting rid of the ball when necessary. Not taking crazy chances out there. And exuding confidence. And, you know, Todd Monken out there, who's, you know, calling plays now, deserves some credit. But, you know, I had somebody ask me today, well, is it fair that we're evaluating Jameis with Dirk Koetter as the offensive coordinator? And I said, well, you know, Jameis had some situations last year where we saw just DeSean Jackson running wide open behind a defense, just like we're seeing him against with Fitzy, but Fitzy's taking advantage and Jameis didn't. Jameis left a lot of plays on that field last year. And Fitzy's not only not leaving any plays on the field, Ryan Fitzpatrick's the best football player on the field 2 weeks straight against two pretty damn good football teams, okay? So Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's waiting to have his seventh child, I have three. I don't know why the hell anybody would want four after that. I'm not quite sure, but good for him. I guess he loves kids, but and came out in the press conference afterwards and I guess took DeSean Jackson's outfit. Listen, I like somebody who competes. I like somebody who doesn't take themselves maybe too seriously. Like, there was actually people that were upset over this situation. I hear people getting pissed over Cam Newton, what he wears at his press conferences. What would make you get upset over what another man wears? Come on. He's in joking. He's having a good time. That's it. Come on. Seriously, it's too much. But the thing is, and I talked about this today on the Mike Calta show, and this is the part that people are going to have problems really honing in on. It's easy to say that Ryan Fitzpatrick is outplaying Jameis right now, and he is. Now, Jameis is not on the field. But it's easy to say that, oh, we got to put Ryan Fitzpatrick in. That's easy. Here's a part of the equation that people aren't really considering. They're not really considering that Jameis is not a bench player. Jameis is, you can't name me 20 quarterbacks in the world that are better than Jameis Winston. And as of right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not better than Jameis Winston. He's just playing well. But if you take it to court and you say, here, Your Honor, who's better, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston? Jameis Winston wins. Okay? And forget about what you've seen in 2 weeks, because when you take that to court, 2 weeks is going to be nullified by 3 full years. Okay? And Ryan Fitzpatrick came here as a backup quarterback. For those of you that love a live experience, let me put you on to a company that I'm hip to, and that's Vivid Seats. It's an online event ticket marketplace. And whether you're looking for tickets for that Monday night football game coming up with the Steelers, which is a very, very tough ticket. You know, Lightning tickets are real tough. USF games, concerts. Taylor Swift was just here. I know that was a tough ticket. If you're looking for tough tickets, you got to go to Vivid Seats app or vividseats.com. You want to see your favorite team or your favorite performer in person. They have great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code Influence, listeners can receive 10% off their first purchase of Vivid Seats. So first-time customers out there, you want to go to Vivid Seats app or vividseats.com, and the first-time customers are going to get their 10% off. So what you're going to do is enter promo code Influence. That's promo code Influence, and you receive 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. So take advantage with Vivid Seats app or vividseats.com. Jameis Winston is not a backup quarterback. He doesn't think so. His agent doesn't think so. And Jameis Winston, although this is his fault, is not going to sit on anybody's bench. Okay? He's not. It seems easy. I know it seems like people are like, well, he got to be a big man. It's not that easy. Once you sit on somebody's bench, you're a backup. If I'm Jameis Winston's agent and the Bucks call me up and it's such a big deal, they're going to have to talk to his agent and go, listen, when Jameis gets back, he's going to be backing up. You know, if I'm his agent, you know what? I'm calling Buffalo right now. I'm going to get you a first rounder for him because my player is not sitting on the bench. He has to play. If you wait a whole year and you don't play at all a whole year, then your status changes. Jameis is not sitting on anybody's bench. He's too good. He's too good. And boy, if they stick with Ryan and he's played so well, I don't know if the fans are going to let him put him down. I just don't think it's going to happen. And for Jameis Winston, once again, created by him, boy, that's going to be a really tough situation to jump into when he's going to start seeing some Ryan Fitzpatrick jerseys, because they're going to start making them. You know that, right? They're going to start making Ryan Fitzpatrick jerseys, as they should. They're going to sell a bunch. But the second Jameis Winston throws that first pick, or the second Jameis Winston, you know, plays a bad quarter, or the second Jameis Winston, you know, does some bonehead play, which he's going to do. He's done it his whole career. This fan base is going to turn on him. It's going to turn on him. So I'm not sure if I'm Jameis's agent right now, if I'm not calling the Bucks and really instigating these moves. Because if they go with Ryan Fitzpatrick when Jameis gets back, the Jameis era is over. Jameis era might have been over when they took him off the side of the building. It might have been over at that point. But right now, Dirk Cutter, Jason Light are in a really weird, it's a weird situation unlike I've ever seen before. I've never really seen this. And people are going to say, well, what about Bledsoe and Brady? Or what about Steve Young and Joe Montana? This is the difference, okay? In both those scenarios, a young up-and-comer overthrew an old guy. Okay? Old guys are not supposed to overthrow the future. I've never seen it. Never. But if you go with Fitzy, then it's got to be Fitzy. And then Jameis is an afterthought, and go and get something for him because Jameis' era is over. But you can't go with Ryan Fitzpatrick and then go back to Jameis Winston and tell Jameis Winston he's the man again because he's not going to believe what you're saying. So don't be surprised if the Jameis Winston era is completely over. Don't be surprised because whose fault is it? It's Ryan Fitzpatrick's fault for playing so gosh darn good. Because, I mean, it's to a point now where I never thought he could play maybe even half this good. And he's just out there, and sometimes it's your time. Sports is crazy sometimes because sometimes lights go on and sometimes things click. And sometimes your time. Maybe it's Ryan Fitzpatrick's time. But I'm talking about some other players that don't want to see Jameis back right now. It's DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson doesn't want to see Jameis back out there. You see much more fun DeSean Jackson's having this year than he did last year. Michael Evans. These guys are right away, they got chemistry because he's getting them the ball. Fitzpatrick is getting them the ball. He's getting the ball out quickly. He's getting it to the right person, making good decisions. And he is absolutely, and I think this may be the biggest difference. The way his demeanor in the pocket right now is fantastic, which is step up into it at times, get out of it at times, get rid of the ball at times. He's making fantastic decisions. And it's little things sometimes that I see that maybe other people don't. Him just climbing up in the pocket and making a late throw, things like that. He's been amazing at for sure. So the confidence is out there with Fitzpatrick, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard. You know, when was the last time the Buccaneers had an athlete that can go 75 yards, more or less two? Like last year we had DeSean Jackson and he just wasn't that guy. He is the guy this year. Now we got O.J. Howard that can go 75 yards. You know, Mike Evans has been a guy. He's a big play guy, but not like that. Vincent Jackson wasn't really that guy. It's been since Joey Galloway since we had somebody that can go 80 yards. And that's quite a while ago. But the deep threats are amazing right now. The running game has a lot of work to do. The offensive line, last week I gave him a game ball for playing in New Orleans. They're not great run blockers. They're not an overly physical offensive line. I'm not seeing it anyways. But they're doing a pretty darn good job pass blocking. Not being able to run the ball will get you eventually. It always does. You have to be able to even things out. I don't care if you're Drew Brees or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston. Having a run game is going to make you that much better for sure. But our offensive line, like I said, great pass blocking. Damar Dotson, my prediction at the beginning of the year was Mike Evans and Damar Dotson are going to the Pro Bowl. Okay, I'm still saying that. I haven't heard Damar Dotson's name in 2 weeks, and that's not a bad thing. That's not like when I'm talking about Gerald McCoy. When you don't hear a tackle's name, that's good. When you don't hear a defensive player's name, that's bad. Damar Dotson's out there holding his own, okay? He's doing a great job. And he had Michael Bennett yesterday, did a wonderful job, and none of that's going to get easier. But as an offensive line, they got to get a little bit more physical. Their right guard's up in the air with Benenock, and I think Evans was coming in, Evan Smith coming in to take him over, and they're rotating the guards, which means you don't have one. And Benenock was struggling against a fantastic football player in Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox was bending over Benenock a few times. That was a long day for him. And when I say you're a difference maker, and I'm going to talk about Gerald McCoy in a minute. You guys know my sentiments on Gerald McCoy. Did you see the difference between what Fletcher Cox was doing and what Gerald McCoy? They play the same position, by the way. And pretty much the same system. Fletcher Cox was wreaking havoc the whole game. If he didn't get to the quarterback, he was in the quarterback's face or near the quarterback, making runs on plays on a run, caving in Benenock and caving in offensive linemen. That's what I want. When I hear, you know, an effective defensive lineman, JPP played a little bit of that yesterday. Difference maker. Gerald McCoy has made two plays this year, okay? So, I mean, there's still Gerald McCoy fans out there. That's fine. But you do know he's only made two plays this year. And I said at the beginning of the year, he makes one play a game. And right now, I'm right on track. He has one sack and probably three tackles for the year, which probably is going to equate to about eight sacks and 30 tackles, which I tell you he has every single year. So just get used to that. As a pass rush, we didn't have enough pass rush, okay? Gerald got to the quarterback on a stunt, and it was to Foles on a stunt, which Foles held on to. That's not the rush I'm talking about. It's a sack in the statistics, but that ain't what I'm talking about. We just need dudes kicking other son of a gun's asses in front of them all game long. That's what we need. And I think if there's one thing, probably two things, maybe three things, it will be our Achilles heel along the way. One may be kicking, because we don't know if our kicking is taken care of yet. I'm not sure yet. He hasn't been put in a situation where it matters yet. It's still very shaky. Running the football, we don't do that real well, and rushing the passer. So kicking game, running the football, rushing the passer, those can be three Achilles heels that gets you later on, that's for sure. Now, we had the Super Bowl champions come into our house. I didn't hear too many stories about Philly fan, but Philly fan has the ability to get real ornery when they lose. I mean real ornery. And I'm sure there'll be some stories come up here before this is all over. But it's just nice for us to see Philly fan. We have to hear them. They were so happy. And I don't like to see Philly fan that happy. This is the first Buccaneer 2-0 start since 2010, which is a long-ass time ago. We're not used to early success. Well, the Bucs are not used to success, period. And it's still too early for us to be talking about, you know, playoffs and all kind of things. But the Bucs right now are national news. They're national news. People are talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I haven't really heard much about Tom Brady this year. You know, like it's usually Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. But Ryan Fitzpatrick's getting all the love right now. And not just here in the Tampa Bay area, nationwide. A lot of announcers and a lot of the specialists and pundits, a lot of them are just saying, that was a one-game thing. I'm a culprit as well. I was like, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to do that again. And he came pretty close. As the end of the game, when I'm looking at his statistics, he had 395 yards. I was like, holy smoke, this guy's going to get 400 yards again. If you look in the history of the Buccaneers, and I haven't, but I will, if they have more than 12 400-yard passing games, I'd be shocked. And to have two in a row against great teams in tough situations as a backup quarterback is absolutely unheard of. And that's what he's getting got done. A lot of us like to dabble in betting a little bit, and I'm definitely one who does it myself, and I do it with my people at MyBookie. MyBookie, you win and they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. They're really slammed with new bettors these days, so they actually have a special deal going on for those people that are willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time. They will give you $25 free on your deposit, anything over $100. So $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar as well. Use promo code TRENCHES and to activate the offer. So you want to take advantage of this. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. And here in the NFC South, which was won by the Saints last year, the NFC South has this weird thing where every other year, somebody goes worst to first. And maybe this is the year where the Buccaneers go worst to first. But I tell you, it's fun. It's fun. And the one thing we do know we have playmakers on our offense. You got playmakers on our offense. It doesn't look like you're going to hold this offense down to 10 points. It just doesn't look that way. It's early. But right now, it looks like we have guys that are going to come out the back end and make some plays. Very, very important. Now, going back to, if anybody wants to email me, you can email me. It's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. We got a couple emails here. One is from R. Powell Robinson Jr. Basically, he was asking about Quan Alexander and his lateral movement. And he said he looks like he struggles when he runs side to side or going backwards. I think the problem with Quan Alexander, and it can be a problem somewhat, Quan Alexander just doesn't ever want to run side to side and backwards. He wants to run straight downhill and smash your helmet open. That's what he wants to do. And that's why I love him as a player. But sometimes when he runs side to side, he's a little out of control because he's always going 110%. There's times you got to throttle down a little bit. I'm not sure really Quan has the ability to throttle down, and nor do we want him to throttle down, okay? We don't want him to throttle down. I was watching some defensive linemen yesterday and some big name ones throttle it down at the end of the game. We don't want throttle. If you're going to throttle it down, take your ass off the field and let's put somebody young in there, you know, with some piss and vinegar, and let's get after that damn quarterback because we didn't get after him enough. Now, we're going to celebrate, which we always do, but you still got to be nitpicky. If you're 2-0, you still got to go to the film room and you got to say, how are we going to get better? How can we improve, you know, as an organization? And getting to the passer, running the football. Those are little things. They're little things, but they're really big things as well. We had another person email me, once again, ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com, from the Pewter Cast, basically asking me why they were rotating Benenok and they were rotating Evan Smith over there. The answer is because they don't have a really good guard. They don't know who's better. Benenok maybe is a little bit more physical, a bigger player, although he was getting his lunch ate for him yesterday. And Evan Smith's kind of like a journeyman type cat. So, you know, they're just feeling it out. It might be one of those things we do all year long, feel it out, and maybe one player matches up a little bit better with another player, and they go from there. But as a whole, I think you have to give the offensive line pretty darn good grades for this season, being 2-0. And you just don't want to complain a whole lot in winning. But actually, in my career, I don't believe I was ever 2-0. But sometimes, I think we were 2-0 one year with Sam Weich. But sometimes coaches get their butts even more tight when they're winning. And sometimes coaches are they're almost looser when they're losing. But when a coach starts to win, they get tight because you don't want complacency. You don't want the players getting comfortable. And right now, the Buccaneers are playing with a lot of energy, playing with a lot of fire. A lot of it has to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, after the touchdown, I'm watching him and DeMar Dotson celebrating. I haven't really seen a whole lot of passion from DeMar like that. Maybe there hasn't been any reason to have that much passion. But Dirk Koetter has already come out and said that week four, he's probably going to stick with Fitzpatrick because it's a short week. Okay, we play Monday night, and then we're going to play the next Sunday. So that's a short week. That's going to be a lot to put on Jameis Winston to come in here off the bench, you know, not really done anything in the last 3 weeks, and just get acclimated, regardless what Fitzpatrick does. That could be a good thing, that could be a bad thing. But in my mind, all I'm doing is picturing Jameis Winston in a dark room watching the Bucs play by himself, because I just don't know why he'd want anybody around him. Because when you're cheering for success and not cheering for other success, because this is human nature, people. I don't give a crap what anybody tells me. Nobody can tell me that they would want their backup to play well. Nobody can tell me that. You want your team to win, but you certainly do not want your backup to throw for 400 yards two straight games. You certainly do not. Like, I started my entire career in the NFL, and there was times where I had to miss games for whatever reason. It didn't really happen that way because, you know, backup linemen, there's not that many that are any darn good. That's just a fact. Or they'd be somewhere else. But I want to win the football game, but I don't want my guy backing me up to ball out. I don't want that. I don't want him to get the game ball because when I come back, I'm trying to be back in there. So Jameis is probably watching this game by himself. because I just picture that being really tough for your psyche to. And you know what? Jameis probably likes Ryan Fitzpatrick. They probably get along great. But if you think that Jameis Winston is going to come back in any week and just sit on the bench and hold a clipboard, and this is the other thing that people don't realize. If you're the backup quarterback, you know what you have to run? Scout team. If you're going to have Jameis Winston running your scout team? I'm not sure that it doesn't bode well. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't really look good for anything in the league. And when this is all done, Jameis is going to look at himself in the mirror and go, look what I've created. I created this. I messed this up. And he really can't blame anybody but himself. But the part that scares me, and I just don't have time to, worry about it now because we're in the midst of it, is that maybe we're all putting too much stock in two games. Because you pull the plug on Jameis, there's no going back. And you pull the plug on Jameis, what happens if Ryan Fitzpatrick tears his rotator cuff the next week? Then we got to go the rest of the season with Griffin? Well, that season's over. And then what would happen? Jason Light and Dirk Cutter, the door would hit their asses on the way out, like literally. Because now you got rid of your franchise quarterback for a journeyman, and this is how it turned out. If they go with Ryan, he's got to stay healthy the whole year. He has to find a way to stay healthy. But I tell you what, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch at this time. The Bucs were a little bit shorthanded at cornerback, got some young players in there, stepping up and playing well. Still some improvement to make, but you just got to like what you see at this point. I had a bunch of people over at our place, and we're ingesting some Paul's Chicago pizza, enjoying ourselves, and it had a different feel because usually people, when they hung out at our place, were just joking. We're laughing about the Bucs because they just don't lose. They don't win many games. And both games they've come out there, and both games they've lit it up early, and both games they look fun offensively. And I think that goes a long way. So let's hope they continue this. Monday Night Football, I'm going to be at the game. It's a Tony Dungy Ring of Honor game, so I'm going to be slumming it into the DeBartolo suite. But I'll be hanging out at the game. This podcast will come out beforehand. And we'll probably break down the game scientifically a little bit, some of the matchups. But let's hope the Buccaneers figure out a way to go 3-0 because it's time to start seeing some more Buccaneer flags and Ryan Fitzpatrick jerseys because that's coming. Ryan Fitzpatrick jerseys are coming. You know they are. It's not going to take long. He wins one more game, and they better start stocking them if they haven't stocked them already. Anyways, if you want to email me, ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. But I definitely appreciate you guys listening to In the Trenches. Wednesday, Cannabis Podcast with myself comes out. And then on Friday, we come out with Flavor in Your Ears. So you just don't want to miss any of those. They're all very insightful and all very eventful. Everybody have a wonderful week. And let's enjoy this victory for a little while until Monday night anyways. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a cannabis podcast powered by Trulieve. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
I'm sure you saw the this week that Elon Musk, one of the more brilliant people in our world, did Joe Rogan's podcast, which I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, a big proponent of marijuana for a long time. He would have to be top.
Oh my gosh. His whole proponents. Everything he does back to cannabis.
Elon Musk smoked marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
People went batshit crazy.
I know.
They were like, oh my, like people from NASA and all this kind of shit. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Right. It was crazy.
It's to the point now where you want to say, you know, when everybody goes home, they're smoking weed, right? Like, well, you want to say that.
It's like, it's no different than when you go on, you know, there's talk shows where people go on and they have a cocktail, or when you see someone smoking a cigarette. It's like, we don't get up in arms about that. And those things are very dangerous. Very dangerous for you. So, you know, he has cannabis, which they were in California, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
So there's no rules that he can't do that. You know, he's a very brilliant person. And yes, I always think too, people, with that kind of brain power sometimes just need that relief sometimes. Yeah. It's he's probably a little stressed out. And then too, sometimes I think there's a reason for the buzz to be created. And
sure.
He's not a dumb person. He's very, very brilliant. So I think there could have been some motivation behind sure. him understanding that there may be some controversy around him doing that, but that's something he
probably
he
probably saw it coming.
Yeah.
I don't think he gives a crap.
No, I don't think he cares.
I really, what's going to happen to Elon Musk? He's going to lose $1 billion.
Right.
What's
right.
going to happen? He's going to be fine.
I mean, I could see someone like that saying, I want in on the cannabis space, and then taking what he's been able to do in mm-hmm. other businesses and applying that technology and that science.
He's no dummy.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
The Cannabis Podcast, powered by Trulieve, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.